Mayor, commissioners, my name's Richard Essie, and I live out on East Burnside in the Ella Heights district. I'm a native, been around here for a little while. I've seen bad streets for a long time. You guys are really dead on saying that, that this is really a complicated issue. The damage to the streets, I think, have a lot to do with quality of workmanship, i.e., the sewer issue came through a number of years ago. One contractor put in a little bit, and that street is still perfect. That part of the street that I live on is perfect. Down the rest of the strip where another contractor came in and did the patch, it's all falling apart, and it's pothole city. It's an issue. Is there a way of addressing quality control
Good point.
The future? I mean, that's down the road. The quality control will pay off down the road. I was motivated to come here because I was concerned about regressive taxes. An example is the arts tax. That's a flat fee. Okay? This person on a minimum income, they feel it. You know, could be their pills for the month. The guy with the bucks, his accountant doesn't even mention it to him. He doesn't feel it at all. So that's what I mean about. And then there are regressive taxes that are erratic, i.e. the sales tax. So it makes it really, really complicated, as you guys were saying. But I think that you need something that's stable. A tax on gas, that's also erratic. You've seen the numbers. As things change, as prices go up and down, the consumer uses less, and it is not a stable tax. A payroll tax, that's got a problem because the guys will just move their corporate offices outside of the city. The guys who are paying big enough to make it worth their while, you'll lose a lot of people that way. I think that a sales tax makes no sense because it's going to hurt the small businessman in town with his little gas station, and he's working on cars. A property tax increase, it's painful, but I think that's the logical approach in terms of consistency. It's a regular, something you can count on a regular basis.
Good.
It's painful. I don't mind paying taxes if I get service.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thank you all. Take the next group, please.
I believe the last person is you, Faye.
Okay. And is there anyone else that didn't sign up that wants to speak? Come on up, please. Go ahead. You, go ahead, please. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. My name is Yute. I am an owner of MacPCX in Hollywood. We provide computer training support. I'm also the president, the newly elected president of the Hollywood Boosters Business Association. And by the way, Mayor, your office had contacted us to for you to come on for February for our luncheon. So thank you.
Yes, good. Thank you.
And I'm also on the board of Venture Portland, which is being shepherded by Commissioner Fish. And so I think that there's a strategy here for being the last person. I get to hear all these different proposals that people have made, and then that allows us to come up with even new ideas. And I had thought of a few different ideas, but I think I'm gonna just go to two ideas that I'd like to run by you. And this thing about the progressive income tax, I think it would be the less impact on people with fixed income. And I think that's a major concern that we all have. And I think that there's a concern that if you do that, you're going to drive out business. Being a business owner, I know, I understand that. And I don't have the support from my members to make this proposal. So, but I think that if this is coupled with a proposal to say for Metro to take over, or not Metro, TriMet, or is TriMet part of Metro, but for a regional solution then to the transportation problem. Because what I've heard also was that that this is a Tri-County problem. This is not just a Portland problem, because we have people that are working out of our city, out of our county, and coming in and using the services. And so that's an important point. I think that it needs whatever solution it needs to solve that problem. And so having a regional tri-county solution, then if you have income tax, it's not where are the business going to move to? They can't move out. They're going to move out of Portland. They're going to end up in Washington is. So an alternative solution, might be something that is in addition, as well as to look at a neighborhood by neighborhood or district by district or quadrant by quadrant solution, and that's to let a more so maybe the concept would be to, like, say have a referendum or have a vote on an office or a procedure for neighbors or neighborhoods or business districts to improve their own roads and have more control over it. And so that there's a little bit of upfront spending to make that happen. And then the neighborhoods can decide for themselves whether to tax themselves and to improve their roads. And I think the businesses that have terrible roads are going to they could make a push to raise the revenue to improve their roads. And I think that for the neighborhoods that don't, and if the roads aren't improved, but they're seen and okay because they have local traffic, I think that could be a win-win for all parts of the city. And I think I'd like to leave with just maybe a general comment that I'd really like that last comment from the gentleman about quality control. And is there maybe it's time for, if there isn't, for a quality control department or that's cross department. And I think that circling back to the neighborhood idea, and maybe if there's more of a strategic look at not just solving the transportation problem to make it easier for cars to drive through, but to look at it more comprehensively, like how do you go beyond just encouraging people to, like, ride TriMet or using their bicycle to get from point A to point B, but looking at more like, say, more specifically, how do you get people to travel, spend most of their time traveling within a 2-mile zone? Not a 20-minute, which is too, if you use technology, you could be like 60 miles, you know, with advancement of technology. We could be able to commute from Portland to Seattle with the newfangled tunnel that within 20 minutes. But if it's a local base, geographic base, how do you get people to spend most of their time, 80% of their time, and travel and commute within a 2-mile zone, then within 1-mile radius of where they live or where they work, then maybe some of this transportation problem will be solved as well. And couple that with the local neighborhood-based initiative to whether or not for them to improve their own streets.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome. Who's on?
I'll
first?
Go. Hi, my name is Matt Hayes. I live in Southeast Portland. I just have a quick question to start because I'm a little confused. What's the criteria for deciding which option to choose after the vote? Is it whichever gets the most votes, or Is there something in place?
I think that's the basic idea. But obviously, we want to send things out that we have the authority to adopt, mm-hmm. that would raise enough revenue to make a difference, and that can be explained to the public. So those are my criteria anyway.
Could you state your question again? It's getting late, and I didn't.
Sorry.
I'll make sure I understood it.
So what I was asking is, what's the criteria for deciding which option to choose after the vote? So you send the vote out, comes back with the percentages. How do you choose which one?
So each of us could give you a different answer on this. if this goes forward, it is an advisory vote,
mm-hmm.
which means each of us will give it the weight that we think is appropriate. And the harder question is, what happens if none of the options come in with majority support?
Mm-hmm. That was the issue I was wondering about, because if there's no minimum threshold, then you mentioned earlier, if someone doesn't like it, that any of these, they can just vote for no for all of them. But if there's no minimum threshold, that option doesn't really mean anything. Because if
that's
you end
why
up,
the mayor emphasized that it would be an advisory vote.
Yeah, exactly. So that was just something I wanted to clarify before I made my suggestion. My suggestion would be to replace an existing residential tax or fee or a set of them with the street fee in a revenue-neutral manner. That would be my suggestion. And then a specific, that doesn't really address the issue of what mechanism I would want for the street funds. So I guess to make it pretty simple, it would be a fee based on road wear. And I'll refer that to the review process for how to come up with that. You've come up with a few ideas of how to do that, and I'm trying to work through. I'm not going to sit up here and just criticize because I don't have anything better at the moment. But the next time there's a review process, I hope to have something.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Very much. Good evening. I think you get the last word.
My name is Paul Morseri. I live at 16th and Ash, in Southeast. And let me start with a point that was just brought up by a few of the last speakers on the subcontractors on the repair of the streets. Like in the Buckman neighborhood, the sewers were just redone, and it's a patchwork. Some of the work they did was good, but mostly they ruined the streets. They didn't fix them properly. And now they're gone, and we're stuck with the bill.
So, sir, because that's a joint enterprise between the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Bureau of Transportation, after the hearing, would you give me some examples, just the address of what you believe to be substandard, and I'll take a look at it.
Oh, I'd be happy to give you a tour of the neighborhood.
By the way, just I don't want to bore you with the my pity party for one, but there are some neighborhoods which would prefer that we not do long stretches and tear up the road. So we sometimes do section by section to accommodate neighbors and businesses, and it probably does create more inconsistencies than if we did them together. There's probably an argument for trying to do them all at once. There is a disruption factor and impact. I'm not here to be argumentative, but if there's substandard work, I'd like to know about it, because for the last year I've had the honor of being in charge of BES, so yeah, I'd like to,
I would be happy to show
take
you
a look at that work.
Good.
And other issues I have are futuristic issues, like a gas tax. I mean, the technology is changing. I mean, Toyota is about to come out with a hydrogen fuel prototype. They've got over 6,000 patents. They're willing to share them with other corporations free to develop the infrastructure. So, I mean, the fuel system is going to change rapidly here.
Yeah.
And other issues like what damage are studded tires doing to our streets? Are they really necessary in a city such as Portland that gets little snow?
That's a question that we actually have raised, and in fact it adopted our legislative program for the state legislature earlier today, and this city council was unanimously of the opinion that we ought to have less use of studded tires and more local regulation of them. So we're in your camp on that issue. Up to now, it's been a state issue, and we've had no say over that. We're angling for and pushing for more local say about, we think, a common sense approach to studded tires in a place where it hardly ever is below freezing anymore. We should be using them very little, if at all, here in Portland.
It's kind of superfluous, really.
Yeah, it is. No, and they cause a huge amount of damage. They cause a great deal of amount. Drive down any highway that hasn't been repaved in the last 10 years, and you're in trenches because of the studded tires. So,
have there been any studies done on how much damage that actually occurs from studded tires
yes.
per year in the city of Portland?
I don't know if it's been done for the city itself, but it's certainly been done on the state level.
And I think that the figure I remember is about $40 million a year statewide. So I don't know what percentage of the state streets we have. Based on our share of the population, it's probably at least $5 million.
That'll fix a lot of roads.
Yeah, we agree with you about that.
Sure, since you have the last word, is there anything else for the good of the order you'd like to share with us?
Let's move on from that. Okay, and as far as, discussing how we got here, we all know how we got here. It's superfluous to discuss it anymore. There's no free lunch. They have to be rebuilt. It's going to take money. It has to be done equitably. And simply, a hodgepodge of different fees and taxes. Let's keep this as simple as possible.
Yeah, good advice.
As fair as possible.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all for coming, and we appreciate the excellent testimony we've got tonight. Come on up, Lightning. Sorry. So you get the last word.
Over me. My name is Lightning. I'll represent Lightning Rethink Lab at this time. Commissioner Novick, this reminds me of a song by Billy Preston titled, "Will It Go Round in Circles?" And I like that song. Now, my position on this is I like your user fee. I like the tiered plan, so I do approve of that. One of the issues I've had all along on this, I think you're asking for too much money up front. You've been dropped a lot of the problems on your shoulders. We know that. It's been 10 to 15 years. Been a tremendous amount of neglect. There should have been certain people fired, and I hope they don't have any of their names on any buildings that were part of this in the past. Now, what I'd like to see is a $25 million cap on the overall number we're dealing with for the first 3 years. Then we do a sunset clause. Then we reevaluate the whole situation at that time. One of my biggest concerns right now, and I hate to say this, is Mr. McCullough. I'd like to see him, if at all possible, be hired from the city as a consultant.
I don't think we can afford to pay his fees.
Well, there's reasons why you might want to ask him that and negotiate a reasonable amount to do that. And I won't go into that right now, but it would be very advantageous for the city to have him on your side as a consultant under an agreement. I would recommend that, but that's up to you.
I'm going to interrupt and not take your time for this, but
okay.
I think Commissioner Novick is right that we couldn't afford his fees, but I think Mr. McAuliffe is having so much fun being Southeast Uplift Chairman that we will probably get his advice for free.
Well, what I'd like to see on this type of research is that if he is your consultant, then he is responsible for the numbers that he provides to the public, and the litigation will be directed at him. That is why you hire the consultant to do that. So you're going to have a battle with him all the way through this. Now, again, as you know, the gas prices have dropped. We all know that. I haven't heard a calculation on how much the city has saved on their fuel prices within operating the city on their vehicles. There's got to be a savings calculated on that. I've talked to Multnomah County on the vehicle registration fees. They're open to discussions on that. They pointed back and said, well, what does the city want to do? Now, that is up for discussions, and I understand that that has to be approved by the attorneys and to see what direction you want to go on that. But again, I would not move too much farther without having a good understanding where Mr. McCullough is on this, and that's just my opinion, because I don't think we need to end up in a lot of litigation over this. And as an attorney, an ex-attorney that you are, you know that's the direction this is going to go.
Lightning, just on the litigation front, I just want to clarify.
Okay.
We will not bill any businesses based on the estimates that we made. We knew we were making estimates because we haven't in the past required businesses to submit all this information that would be the basis for the fee. If we adopt the fee, they will be required to submit the information, and we will compute the fees based on that information.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm just reading his report on what he stated on the litigation factor of the report. So that was a concern to me, just as the public reviewing that. So other than that, I think, like I say, that's my position on it. And I think there's been so many changes, and the last thing I wanted to see is a lot of confusion created. But we've gone in a circle. And I think there's got to be a time that you understand there's got to be a number set and a cap set and work it out for 3 years, see if the gas tax can go through. If not, we can try to adjust at that time. But other than that, we're going in circles on this.
I appreciate the thought, Lightning. The reason we're concerned about asking for any less money is that even with what we're asking for, we're not even stopping the bleeding. Because every month another stretch of street falls into worse condition and costs more to repair.
You have a calculation on your total number of a 60% toward paving, another 40% toward safety issues. I want to just make sure some of the safety issues are taken care of within the first 3 years. Then I want to see if there's any additional revenue that we can pull within that time frame, and maybe the gas tax can go through also. Because we're gambling on that gas tax. That's what it is. We'll see what happens. The county already did a small county gas tax for themselves. And as you know, that was at 3 cents, if I'm correct. Now, can we get that pushed through at the city level? I don't know yet. But we haven't done it. We need to look at the past and learn from that and not count on it happening too soon. That's my opinion. So thank you for your time.
Just as a small correction, it's safety for 46% and paving for maintenance for 54%.
I was using just a close estimate on my numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Again, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. What we're going to do is I'm going to return this item to Commissioner Novick's office, and then it's our intention the week of the 19th. Hopefully it will be the evening of the 20th. To have a council hearing and action on a resolution or set of resolutions that will refer the advisory ballot items to the voters. What's on that list is obviously still under discussion among members of the council, and you can continue to write to us by email or call us and otherwise communicate with us and continue this process of making suggestions about what you'd like to see considered. But we've certainly got a lot of very helpful testimony and good ideas tonight, and appreciate you all being here. So I'm returning that item to Commissioner Novick's office. Rachel is saying we have one more item, which I think also has to be returned, right?
Yeah.
So I'm also, sorry, I lost my number, returning item 46, 47, and 36 to Commissioner Novick's office. Did I get it right that time? Thank you very much. Thank you all. Travel safely to get home, and we're adjourned.